Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to this deep dive. We've looked at your sources on William Least Heat Moon's really seminal travelogue, Blue Highways, A Journey into America, and yeah, we're here to kind of pull out the most important insights.
Absolutely. And this is a book that, you know, even though it was written quite a while ago now, it still speaks so directly to this feeling, this problem of modern alienation, I think.
Mm.
It's this very deep personal search for meaning, for belonging, especially when the world feels like it's moving so fast and maybe losing some of its character.
Exactly. So our mission today really is to unpack Heat Moon's core idea.
Mm-hmm.
That the, let's say, real America and maybe even the real self isn't found on those big, fast interstates, you know, the efficient gray ribbons.
Right.
But it's on those meandering, often forgotten secondary roads, the blue highways. It's about consciously choosing maybe discovery over just speed.
Yeah, slowing down. And to really get the journey, you have to understand the person who took it. The author, born William Trogdon, he actually adopted the name William Least Heat Moon.
And that name choice is pretty critical, isn't it?
It really is. It's meant to honor his ancestry, Osage Nation, Irish, English. It kind of positions him, interestingly, as both, well, an insider to mainstream American culture, but also a critical outsider that gives him a unique perspective.
And we should probably talk about what actually led to this massive 13,000-mile trip.
Yeah.
Because, look, this was no holiday.
No, definitely not. In 1978, his life basically just unraveled. He lost his teaching job, and at the same time, his wife left him. He was sort of stripped bare of all those fixed identities, you know, job, marriage, even home.
Wow. So a total crisis moment.
Exactly. And that state of profound collapse really provided the vulnerability needed for a genuine quest, I think. He wasn't just observing America. He was actively trying to figure out how to rebuild himself.
So the journey had a deeply personal goal right from the start.
Right. His academic background gave him the tools to interpret things, sure. But it was the personal crisis that gave him the, let's say, the raw empathy to really connect with the people he met, the forgotten people often.
Okay, let's talk about the journey itself. The premise is just audacious. A three-month, 13,000-mile solo trip around the edge of the U.S. in a 1975 Ford Econoline van.
Yeah.
And he named the van Ghost Dancing.
That name, Ghost Dancing, is so important. The Ghost Dance, historically, was this late 19th century Native American movement, really about spiritual renewal, trying to reclaim tradition in the face of huge loss.
Hmm.
So by naming his van that, he's signaling this isn't just driving around. It's a personal, maybe even cultural attempt to reconnect with something lost, something suppressed.
And the main rule he set for himself, it was beautifully simple but restrictive.
Totally. Only follow the blue highways, those secondary roads marked in blue on the old Rand McNally maps, no interstates. And crucially, avoid major cities.
He deliberately went looking for towns with these wonderfully quirky names, didn't he? Like Nameless Tennessee or why not North Carolina?
Yeah, Dime Box, Texas. It's the perfect setup for this dual mission he's on. Geographically, he's kind of documenting these forgotten parts of America before, you know, everything looks the same.
Right, before the homogenization takes over completely.
Exactly. But psychologically, it's this intense self-examination. He's using the movement, the road, the spontaneous encounters, using them as tools to basically piece himself back together, find a new role, a new goal.
So the book ends up being much more than just a travel diary. It's really a study of American identity and, yeah, pretty sharp critique of that homogenization trend.
Mm-hmm. He saw that bland uniformity, the fast food, the franchises just aggressively replacing a unique local character.
And his core argument, which builds over all those miles, seems to be that real connection.
Mm.
You know, just talking to people, strangers, waitresses, monks, fishermen. That's the real cure for both his own personal despair and maybe that wider cultural anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
If you just stop and actually listen, the real America kind of bubbles up.
That's it. So let's follow the journey a bit, because it really does mirror his own emotional state. It starts in spring. He heads east into the Appalachians. And the writing there is full of this raw pain, this uncertainty.
He's running away, essentially.
Yeah, he is. But he's also figuring out his method. Arrive, watch, and really importantly, listen. Listen until people kind of give him permission to talk.
And that method works almost right away, doesn't it? When he gets to places like Nameless Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't just pass through. He stops. He hangs out at the general store.
Mm-hmm.
And he realizes these tiny places aren't dead ends at all. They're like living libraries of oral history.
Right. He stays with the Watts family there, and they seem to embody that kind of stubborn local wisdom that the interstates just fly past.
Exactly. He captures that feeling of a place where history is spoken, you know, not just read in a book. The store owner tells him how Nameless got its name. They couldn't agree, left it blank. And the post office just wrote Nameless. It's almost poetic.
Then he moves south through the Carolinas, Georgia.
Mm.
And the feel changes, right?
Mm.
The history feels heavier.
Definitely. The legacy of the Civil War, slavery, it's just palpable in the atmosphere he describes. But that reflection on history leads him somewhere unexpected, spiritually.
Ah, the Trappist Monastery in Georgia. That encounter with Brother Patrick.
Yes. That's such a pivotal moment. After weeks of just constant restless driving, suddenly he's in this place of enforced silence, contemplation.
A complete change of pace.
And the monk basically confirms what Heat Moon's been suspecting.
Yeah.
That real wisdom, real perspective often comes when you deliberately step away from all the noise of modern life. It's a necessary pause, a grounding. He realizes not all searching needs wheels. Sometimes you find things by staying still.
Then the landscape shifts again. Dramatically, westward into the desert, Texas, Arizona.
Yeah, the vast arid spaces and the mood shifts, too. That physical emptiness seems to mirror his own internal state, maybe forcing even deeper thought, less distraction.
And this is where his Native American heritage really comes into focus.
It does. And it leads to what is probably the most crucial philosophical moment in the whole book, meeting a young Hopi man in Arizona.
Okay.
This conversation just completely challenges Heat Moon's whole restless Western way of thinking.
How so?
Well, the Hopi man questions the very idea that happiness comes from constantly moving or acquiring things. He talks about a worldview centered on balance, harmony, finding the right way to live. It's a stark contrast to Heat Moon's anxiety and rootlessness.
So it's not about escaping to somewhere, but about finding equilibrium where you are.
Precisely. It's a profound critique. And Heat Moon starts to realize his journey isn't just about covering miles anymore. It's become a search for that kind of inner vigilance. This is where the trip really transforms from running away from failure to actively seeking a different kind of meaning, a different goal.
From the desert, he heads north, up the Pacific coast, Oregon, Washington.
Right. And up there, the encounters shift again. He meets people defined by their struggle with nature sailors, loggers, and he starts wrestling with that classic American tension, using resources versus preserving the environment.
Yeah, that's always there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And then finally, he turns back east, crossing the northern states. The journey is winding down now.
And he's changed by this point.
Oh, definitely. He's not just running anymore. Ghost dancing, the van, it's become his home, his safe space. He's not desperately chasing stories now. He's absorbed them. He's piecing together a new sense of self from everything he's seen and heard.
So he completes the circle, gets back home.
With this powerful realization. The sheer diversity of the country, the accents, the food, the local histories, it's immense. And it's exactly that diversity that the fast, efficient interstates are designed to smooth over, to ignore.
The journey itself was the point. The transformation happened on the road, not at some final destination.
Exactly. The process, the wandering, that was the goal achieved.
So let's try and pull out maybe three core themes that really resonate, things that stick with you.
Okay. Well, the first one has to be the fundamental contrast between, let's call it, experiential authenticity and just transactional efficiency.
Right. The core belief there is that the real stuff,
yeah,
the real America, maybe real life is local, it's specific, and you actually have to put in some effort to find it.
Mm-hmm.
It's in those unscripted chats, not the predictable, corporatized highway stop. So the reflection for you listening might be, where in your own life are you maybe opting for the quick, easy transaction instead of the slower, possibly more meaningful interaction?
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, theme two, the incredible power of conversation and just actively listening. Heat Moon's whole method is built on showing genuine curiosity.
It works. It breaks down barriers.
It does. He basically proves that everyone, every stranger has a story, maybe some wisdom, if you just take the time to listen.
And this is something you can apply immediately, right?
Yeah.
Make a conscious effort. Try to engage with people outside your normal bubble, the person making your coffee, the local shop owner.
Your neighbor.
Yeah. With genuine curiosity about their perspective, it's maybe the simplest way to push back against that alienation we feel sometimes.
Absolutely. And the third theme, I think, is seeing the journey itself as this powerful metaphor for radical personal healing. That huge trip wasn't just therapy in the traditional sense. It was like a radical act born out of necessity.
Right. the solitude, the constant forward motion.
Yeah.
It forces you to confront yourself, doesn't it? And ultimately, maybe reinvent yourself, find a new purpose.
Exactly. It shows us that sometimes real transformation requires a serious break from routine. Mm. You need that space, that willingness to step into the unknown, the uncomfortable, to figure out who you are now.
Heat Moon's writing is just fantastic, and he leaves you with these lines that perfectly capture his whole philosophy. Let's talk about a few, starting with why he left in the first place.
Okay, yeah. He writes, "A man who couldn't make things go right could at least go. He could quit trying to get out of the way of life, chuck routine, live the real jeopardy of circumstance. It was a question of dignity."
Wow. That just perfectly sums up that feeling of needing to reclaim some control, some agency,
yeah.
Right? When everything else falls apart, movement itself becomes an act of dignity, refusing to just be passive.
Exactly. Taking action, even if it's just driving. Then there's the feeling of the road itself, how it offers a fresh start. When you're traveling, you are what you are right there and then. People don't have your past to hold against you. No yesterdays on the road.
Hmm. That really taps into why travel can feel so liberating, especially when you're trying to recover from something. Every new town, every new person is a chance to be just who you are in that moment, without the baggage.
Yeah, no history weighing you down. And finally, this one distills the whole book's thesis into, well, food and conversation. On the blue highways, what you can't get is a chain store meal. What you can get is a good piece of homemade pie and a conversation.
Ah, the homemade pie. It's the symbol, isn't it?
It is. The pie and the chat represent authenticity, community, those human scale pleasures that pure efficiency just steamrolls. He's arguing we trade away connection for speed, and maybe that's not always a good deal.
So the big question then, how do we apply this blue highways thinking to our own lives? I mean, most of us can't just quit our jobs and buy a van.
Right. Fair point. But you can apply the philosophy. First, maybe consciously try to embrace the scenic route in life sometimes.
Okay.
Well, in your career, maybe. Or personal growth. Question, if the fastest, most conventional path is always the best, maybe value the insights you gain from detours, from mentorship, from slower processes that actually let you observe and learn instead of just rushing to the next checkpoint.
Hmm. Okay. Taking the time. What else?
Second, maybe rethink why we travel. Move beyond the checklist, tourism, you know, ticking off sites. Try for deep travel, even if it's just a weekend away.
What does that look like?
Slowing down. Making a point to find a local diner instead of a familiar chain. Being open to spontaneous chats rather than just racing between landmarks. Prioritizing connection.
Got it.
And third, become an explorer of your own area. Connect with your local history. Seriously, take an hour. Learn the story of your neighborhood. Visit that small town museum you always drive past. Find out about the oldest building nearby. It fosters a real sense of belonging right where you are.
That's really practical.
Yeah.
Okay, so wrapping up, what surprised you most digging back into this book and these ideas?
You know, what really struck me again is how much more it is than just a travel story. It's this enduring meditation on identity, on America, on the complexity you find just beneath the surface once you step off the main road, the sheer depth he uncovers just by choosing not to be efficient. It's kind of staggering.
Yeah, I agree. For me, the most powerful lesson is that shift in perspective. He achieves the journey really being the destination. That success isn't just about getting somewhere fast. It's about the richness of the experience itself, the wisdom you pick up along the way. It's about learning to trust the wisdom of wandering, as you put it.
Yeah. And it really highlights the courage it takes sometimes to leave those well-trodden paths, the ones everyone else is on.
And trusting that the unexpected turns, the unplanned conversations, they might actually lead you exactly where you need to end up.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.